Hey, good morning. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Hey. We left off all the way on the bottom of Sanhedrin Dalid Amud Beis yesterday. Today's shiur was sponsored by the Newman family once again. L'schus Rafua Shalema, for Avishai's father, Chaim Naftali ben Frumit Freda. We hope that the schus of our learning is a catalyst for Rafua for Avishai's father. And we thank the Newman family very much for the sponsorship. So today's daf is going to be about the concept of Yachid Mumche judging a case of Hodos Valvos alone. So far what we've seen is we saw that huge mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta, spoke about Dine Mamonos Beshlosha, Gzelos Vachavalos Beshlosha, and we had said that the reference to Dine Mamonos is actually a reference to Hodos Vahalvos. So Hodos Valvos is one category. That requires a panel of three. Gzelos Vachavalos, a separate category, also Dine Mamonos, also requires a panel of three. We drew a distinction that whereas Gzelos Vachavalos requires three mumchim, Hodos Valvos requires only a panel of three, but they don't have to be mumchim. Now we're going to talk about, and then yesterday we also saw the view that Shnayim Shadanu Dineim Din, Ela Shnikra based in Chatzuf, that if two Dayanim judge a din, if two Dayanim preside over a case, then their verdict is actually a verdict. It has some legal effect. However, they're considered to be a Beis Din Chatzuf because really we're supposed to have a Beis Din of three people. Now we're going to talk about the concept of a Yochid Mumche judging even alone by a case of Hodos Valvos. That's going to catapult us into a discussion about the concept of Netilas Rishus to Paskin. The notion that you have to ask Rishus either if you're in front of your Rebbe or if you're going from one location to another, how exactly do you have the authority to judge? The Gemara is going to talk about the pitfall of allowing somebody to paskin without first having that person be notel rishus. That goes on to that discussion is found on Amud Beis, and then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss further the idea of not paskening halacha in front of your Rebbe. So again, a lot about psak. First, the notion of a dayan mumcha judging afilu yichidi, and then moving on to requesting rishus to pasken and various halachas pertaining to that. Okay, so we left off the very last line of Dalan Amud Beis. Then we left off the third word on the line, Tana Rabbanan. So says the Gemara like this, Dine Mamonos Beshlosha, that Dine Mamonos has to be judged with three people. Again, we had explained that Dine Mamonos means Hodos Valvos. A case of a loan has to be judged in front of three Dayanim, by three Dayanim. Vim Haya Mumcha L'Rabim. However, if somebody is a Mumcha L'Rabim, then Don Afilu Yechidi. Then he could judge a case even if he is alone. So says Tosfos over here. So first of all, says Rashi. So Rashi says, what does it mean that he could judge even alone? What's the makar for this? If you told me that you were darshaning psukim to teach me that you need a panel of three in order to preside over a din, how can it be that all of a sudden now a yachid is allowed to judge? So says Rashi, because the pasuk says b'tzedek tishpot, and tishpot is lashon yachid. V'ksovar ein kan erev parshios. So Rashi says, obviously we're talking according to the Man D'Amar, who doesn't hold from Erev Parshios. Again, just to refresh, what's Erev Parshios? So we had pointed out a couple of days ago, the whole concept that you need three judges is because it says by Shomrim Elohim three times. Each reference to Elohim is a reference to a judge, or we saw that maybe you don't learn anything from the first Elohim, but the two references to Elohim and then Ein Beis and Shakel, whatever it is, in the Parsha of Shomrim, we have a reference, we have a Makar, that there were three judges required, and we saw this machlokas whether we apply Erev Parshias. Erev Parshias means that something that's written in Shomrim also applies to the Parsha of Halva. So if you hold from Erev Parshias, and just like the Shomrim requires a panel of three, so too Hodos Valvos requires a panel of three. However, according to the Man D'Amar, it says, Ein Erev Parshios, then what is written by one Parsha applies to that Parsha, and only that Parsha. So if you don't hold from Erev Parshios, the fact that it says Elohim three times by Shomrim teaches me that I need three Dayanim by Shomrim. But it doesn't teach me a thing about Hodos Valvos, because I'm not learning anything from Shomrim to Hodos Valvos. So Rashi says that if you're going to tell me that by Hodos Valvos, a Yochid Mumche is able to judge even alone, Obviously, this Man D'Amar doesn't hold from Erev Parshias, because if he held from Erev Parshias, just like I require three by Shomrim, so too I would require three by Hodos Falvos. So that's Rashi Shita. Tosva says over here, though, on the top, Tosva, Vimay Mumcha L'Rabim, Sepirish HaKuntris, Deksib B'Tzedek Tishba, Feksover, Ain't Erev Parshias Ksiv Kan. So Rashi, so Tosva restates Rashi Shita, Bekasha, Dim Kain, Tikshale, Hach Brysa, L'Rabavo, D'Amar Shnayim Shadanu, Ain't Dineyem Din, L'divrei akol, because if that's the case, then why don't we bring this brisa as a raya against Rav Avoh, who said that shnayim shadanu ain't dineyem din? We could say that how could you say that two people who judge, their judgment isn't valid? Over here we see that even one person who judges, his judgment is going to be valid. So v'od kasha the mashmar l'perish arkuntres the lamad the islay erev parshios ein yochol lodon yichidi. That Rashi, the bigger kasha, says Tosfos, is that according to Rashi, if you hold erev parshios, then just like the three dayanim is a requirement by shomrim, so too the three dayanim should be a requirement by dos falvos. It would turn out that you can't judge alone, even if you're a yachid mumcha, by ados falvos, and that can't be. But Rabbi Yosef svirale v'per kamagarish, but ados falvos abdinan shlichosayu alma islu erev parshios. That Rabbi Yosef happens to hold from the concept of erev parshios. Vafilu achi mashman besamlich meyovde demar zutra disle Rabbi Yosef the yachid mumcha don vafilu yichidi. So Rabbi Yosef holds from erev parshios, yet he also holds that a yachid mumcha can judge alone. So how can it be that Rashi's interpretation is correct? So Tosfos says later, skipping a few lines, Nirali, that filu lamandi deboy gimel mumchim midaraisa, that even if you hold erev parshias, and even if therefore, just like I require three dayana mumchim by gzelos v'chavolos, so too I would require three dayana mumchim by odos v'avos. So takanta drabonani, it's a takana drabonan, the yachid mumcha l'rabim da nafilu yichidi. So it's mashma from Rashi holds that this is a din doraisa, whereas Tosfa says, no, it applies even, it's a din drabonan that applies even if on a deraisa level you should require three dayana mumchim, still it's a din drabonan that by odos v'avos, we already saw one relaxation of the halacha, by odos v'avos, that we relaxed the standard of mumchim. Now we're imposing a further relaxation of the halacha, that I don't even need three, provided that one guy is a yachid mumcha. Okay, good. So says the Gemara Vayter like this. Abba Rav Nachman, kegon ana don dinei mamonos b'yichidi. Like I'm a mumcha l'rabim, so I'm known as a big expert, and therefore I am able to judge cases alone. Tosfos just points out over here. Tosfos dibur amaskel kegon. He says v'adetam b'maseches avos alti don yichidi she'ein don yichidi ela kadosh baruch hu. But there's a mission in Pirkei Avos that says that you're not supposed to judge a case alone. So says Tosfos, that's only etzatova kamash malan. That's only giving good advice shelo yitev. It's to make sure that you're not going to make a mistake. V'ademar kegon ana hainu klomar yochel ladun. Tosfos says maybe when Rav Nachman is saying over here that I can judge alone, he's not saying that he does judge alone because he listens to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. What he's saying is, I'm not concerned for the reason that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos said I shouldn't judge alone is because they were afraid I'm going to make a mistake. I'm not afraid I'm going to make a mistake because I'm such a mumcha. Inami ragel haya bedinim vein locho shamayita. Or maybe he actually did judge alone. But again, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos wasn't giving us a black and white halacha. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos was giving us advice. Don't judge alone because you make a mistake. If you're the type of shoifet who's not afraid that he's going to make a mistake, then you could judge even alone. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, third line down. V'cheinam ravchia kegonana. Don dine mamonos b'yichidi. Also, like I used to judge dine mamonos even alone. So ibay luhu kagona na de gamirna v'savirna v'ne kitner v'rishusa. So what does it mean? What does it mean kagona na that I also judge dine mamonos b'yichidi? Is it that I am very learned and I know all the halachos and I'm not afraid I'm going to make a mistake and I received rishus to judge cases alone? Avalonoket rishusa dine lo dina. However, without an akitas rishus, without actually receiving permission to judge alone, his din would not be a valid din. Odilma afal gavdelo noket rishusa dina dine. Or maybe even if he never took rishus, his din would be a din. So who would he take? Who would he be taking rishus from? So Rashi explains, "V'nekitna rishusa me'resh galusa the dinya dinim amanis biyachidi." Did he take rishus from the Resh Galusa? In other words, is Rishus from the Resh Galusa a prerequisite to judging alone, or is just accumulation of the knowledge base a prerequisite to judge alone? So says the Gemara, let's bring a Raya. Tashma, Demar Zutra Breder Rav Nachman, Demar Zutra Breder Rav Nachman, Dun Dina, he judged the case alone, Vita, and he made a mistake in the judgment. So also Lekaimed Rav Yosef, so they came before Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef said like this, so Amar Lei, Im kiblucha alayu, if they accepted your judgment on them, even though they knew that you were a dun yechidi, lo teshalem, then you don't have to pay, even though you made a mistake in the psak, because they accepted your psak, and therefore you don't have to come out of pocket. Vilo, however, if they didn't accept your psak, if they didn't accept you, if they didn't accept your authority over them, then zil shlim, then you have to go pay, you have to compensate the litigants because you made a mistake in the judgment. So Shmamino, what do we see from here? Ki lo noket rishusa, that if he didn't take rishus from the Resh Galusa, dina, then his judgment would be a valid judgment. Shmamina, so we see that you don't need to have rishus from the Resh Galusa in order to judge, that the rishus from the Resh Galusa actually helps only to insulate you from the requirement to pay. However, your judgment is still considered to be a valid judgment, even if you didn't take rishus from the Resh Galusa. Like Rashi says, V'lo kiblu, and if they didn't accept on you, if they didn't accept your psak on them, to'uzcha aleyem, diamru lecha, dayanta la din Torah, zil shlim. Miyu mahadar dina lo. However, it's a valid judgment. Alma gamer v'sover v'chilon noket rishusa dina adina v'la mahadar. So it's mashma, according to Rashi, the way Rashi understands the Gemara, that if you are learned, then you're able to dun yechidi, and your judgment is a valid judgment. It does stand, even if you didn't take rishus from the Resh Galusa. Taking rishus from the Resh Galusa only insulates you from the requirement, from the obligation to repay, to compensate the litigants in the event you actually made a mistake in the halacha. So says the Gemara. Amar Rav, Haiman deboy lemeidan dina, vitoy meboy lemiftere. If a person wants to judge a case, and if he makes a mistake in the psak, he wants to be potter from compensating the litigants, so lishkol rishusa mebe resh galusa. He should take rishus from the resh galusa, because that will give him the authority, A, to judge dinim alone, B, that will give him the protection that if he makes a mistake in the din, he is not going to be required to compensate the litigants. V'chein amar Shmuel, lishkol rishusa mebe resh galusa. So too that he should take rishus from the Resh Galusa. Now, what's the rishus from the Resh Galusa? So the rishus from the Resh Galusa is, so the Resh Galusa was in charge of all affairs in Bavel and was sort of the corresponding position to the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. So the Resh Galusa had authority over the whole judicial system, and therefore, under what authority was the Resh Galusa able to insulate Dayanim from the obligation to compensate litigants if they made a mistake? So the Mefarshim explained, this is an outgrowth, or this is an offshoot of the principle of Hefker Beis and Hefker, that the Resh Galusa, who presides over all Batei Din in Bavel, can say, Hefker Beis and Hefker, I'm giving you rishus, therefore you are not obligated to compensate litigants, even for a busted judgment. So says the Gemara now, Pshita, Mehacha Lahacha, it's Pashat that from one place in Bavel to another place in Bavel, Umehasam Lahasam, or if you're taking Rishus from the Nasi because you're in Eretz Yisrael, so if you get Rishus to judge in one city in Eretz Yisrael and then you go to another city in Eretz Yisrael, Umehacha Lahasam, or if you get Rishus from the Resh Galusa to judge alone in Bavel, and then you go to Eretz Yisrael, you're also allowed to judge alone in Eretz Yisrael. Ma'ani, that authorization serves as sufficient authorization. Why? Tahacha shevet v'hasam mechokek. Because over here in Bavel, we are likened to a shevet, which is a scepter, and over there in Eretz Yisrael, they're likened to a mechokek, which is a legislator. So what does that mean? So shevet, Rashi says, is lashon srara. It's a lashon of srara, of authority. V'yesh lashon rishus lahafkir, to hefker based in hefker. Tchsiv v'chol asher lo yavo b'yavamos b'isha rabba. And so shevet, a scepter, is a lashon of a very, very apparent and a very, very strong type of srara, authority. And the word mechokek is, says Rashi, srara mu'etes, is less of a type of authorization, less of a type of authority. So if you have authority from the top dog, from the Reish Galusa, then you're allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael, where they have lesser authority, and you're allowed to judge halachos over there. So Kedetanya, how do we know about the Shevet HaMechoke? Kedetanya la yasur Shevet Yehud me Yehuda, Elu Rosh Egolia Shebabavel, Sharodin Es Yisrael B'Shevet, that they preside over, that they preside over the populace in Bavel with a shevet. Rashi explains sheyeshlem koach rishus meis malke paras. Somehow the fact that they have a rishus, they have authorization from the malke paras, gives the Reish Galusa a little bit more power to really put the screws to the people in Bavel, but they could be very, very tough with them because they have this level of authority. Umechokek mi bein raglav, and mechokek mi bein raglav is elu bnei banav shel Hillel, shemelamdim Torah berabim. These are the bnei banav shel Hillel who would teach Torah in public. Hillel, of course, was a nasi. So we see that the lashon of greater authority is used with respect to the Reish Galusa in Bavel. Lashon of lesser authority is used with respect to the nasi in Eretz Yisrael. So if you get rishus from the Reish Galusa, you're allowed to judge cases even in the jurisdiction of the nasi in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, though, the real question is like this: Mehosam lahacha mai. What about if a guy got rishus in Eretz Yisrael and then he goes over to Bavel? So Toshma, the Rabba Bar Chana. So Rabba Bar Chana, and Tosfa says that this Rabba Bar Chana is different than the Rabba Bar Chana that we usually see through Hashas. His name appeared a couple of days ago. Tosfos over here says it's not a Girsha issue. This is a separate Amora. So Rabba Bar Chana don dina vata. He judged the case alone and he made a mistake. So also lekami de Rav Chia, and he came before Rav Chia. So Amar lei im kiblucha alaihu lo teshalem, that if they accepted your judgment upon them, then you don't have to pay for the mistake. Vilo zil shalem. However, if they didn't accept your judgment upon them, then you have to pay for the mistake. You have to compensate the litigants for the mistake in judgment. Via Rabba Barchana reshusa avinakit. Why did Rabba Barchana have to pay anybody at all? Rabba Barchana had reshus to judge cases alone from the nasi. So shmamina mehasam laacha lo mahani shmamina. So why did he have to pay if the litigants didn't accept the judgment on them? I thought that as long as you have authority from the presiding character, be he the nasi or the Reish Galusa, then that alone, that permission alone, insulates you from the obligation to compensate the litigants if you make a mistake. So the reason is because, yes, he did have permission, but he had permission from the nasi in Eretz Yisrael. Now he was judging the case in Bavel. So the reshus that he got from the nasi in Eretz Yisrael is not enough to insulate him from the obligation to compensate if he then made a mistake in a litigation in Bavel. So says the Gemara, "Velo mahani, really, it doesn't help. Rabba bar Rav Huna, kiavi mincei ba'hade debei Reish Galusa." When Rabba bar Huna was arguing with the Reish Galusa, Amar, he said to the Reish Galusa, "Lav minayin nekitna reshusa. I didn't get reshus. I didn't get authority to judge from you. Nekitna reshusa me abba mori, vabba mori me rav, rav me rav chia me rebi." And Rebbe was the nasis. In other words, he was having a war of words. He was having a spat with the Reish Galusa. So he said to the Reish Galusa, "You think I'm relying on you for my authority to judge? No, I have a whole line of authority dating back to Rebbe, who was a nasi, and I have my authority from the nasi, not from the Reish Galusa." So says the Gemara, "Yeah, but milsa dalma hu deokam lu. They were just trash talking each other. So that's why he said, "Oh, you think I need rishus from you? No, I have rishus from the nasi." But really, the rishus from the nasi, really, rishus from the nasi is not going to be greater than rishus from the nasi is not going to be greater than rishus from the Reish Galusa. So says right, but in truth, the nasi is meshubad. The nasi is subservient to the Reish Galusa. So says the Gemara, "Bavichimi acher dlo mahani, Rabba Barchana reshusa denakat lamali." So the question is, if Rabba Barchana was got rishus from the nasi to judge cases alone, And then he went to Bavel and he was judging cases alone, and it turned out that the authority he got from the Nasi was worthless in Bavel. So if he knew he was going to Bavel, why did he get Rishus from the Nasi to judge cases? He should have gone to the Reish Galusa once he got to Bavel, because he should have known that the Rishus that he got in Eretz Yisrael is meaningless when he would get to Bavel. So says Tosfos, yes, but la'yaros has ha'omdim alagvulin. But the reason that he got the Rishus from the Nasi is for the cities that technically were outside the borders of Eretz Yisrael, but they followed Eretz Yisrael. They went after Eretz Yisrael. So for those cities that were technically outside the geographic reach of Eretz Yisrael, as long as they went along with Eretz Yisrael, he would be allowed to judge there on the koach of the Rishus that he got from the Nasi. That's why he got the Rishus, even though he knew he was going to Bavel. But in Bavel proper, he would need Rishus from the Reish Galusa. So says the Gemara, my Rishusa, what is this Rishus? Zakiyavi Nachis, Rabba Bar Chana le Bavel. When Rabba Bar Chana went to Bavel, Amarlu Rabbi Chia le Rebbe. So Rabbi Chia said to Rebbe, Ben Achi, my nephew, Yored le Bavel, is going down to Bavel. Yore, can he pasken alacha? So the Gemara says, Rashi says, Yore means Isser Veheter. So can he pasken cases of Isser Veheter? Samar Lam Rebbe, Yore, Lukaman Parach Igomer, Lamali Rishusa Bara. The Gemara is going to ask later, if he already knew the halacha, so why does he need Rishus just to pasken? So he said, Yore, yes, he can pasken alacha. Yadin, Can he judge? And Rashi says, "Bershus v'yifter milashalem." Does he have rishus to judge, so that if he makes a mistake in judgment, he is going to be putter from compensating the litigants? Yadin. Yater b'choros. Can he be mater b'choros? In other words, a b'char is usually prohibited to be eaten unless the b'char, the animal, has a mum. And if the b'char animal has a mum, then it loses its sanctity. But you have to be a baki and mumin in order to determine whether the b'char has a mum kavua or a mum over. So yater b'choros, and he said to him, yater, yes, he could be matir b'choros. So kiyabinach is Rav Lebavel. Now when that was Rabba Bar Chana. When Rav went to Bavel, Amar le Rab Chia le Rebbe, there's a Rabbi Chia said to Rebbe, Ben Achosi, the son of my sister, also my nephew. But the Gemara is going to ask why you refer to one as Ben Achi and the other as Ben Achosi. But Ben Achosi, my nephew, Yore le Bavel, he's going to Bavel. Yore, can he pasken his Veheter? Yore. Yadin, can he have Rishos so that he doesn't have to pay the litigants? Yadin. Yater Bechoros, can he be Mater Bechoros? Al Yater. Nope, he doesn't have Smicha of Yater Bechoros. We'll see why in Amud Beis. So Maishna Lamar de Kakari Ben Achi, Maishna Lamar de Kakari Ben Achosi. So first the Gemara is bothered, why does he refer to, when he's referring to both as his nephews, and the Gemara is assuming that both of them were sons of his brother, why does he refer to one as a son of his brother and the other as a son of his sister? So, and if you want to say, well, what kind of question is that? It's because he had two nephews, but one of them was his brother's son and one of them was his sister's son. So says the Gemara, V'yamar Mar, no, but that's not the case. Why? Because it says in the Gemara that Avo, who's Rav's father, V'chana, who's the father of Rabba Bar Chana, so Rav's father and Rabba's father, Vishila Umarta V'rabichia, Kulu b'nei Abba Bar Acha Karsula Mekfar Havo. They are all brothers, they are all sons, rather, of Abba Bar Acha Karsula from this place called Kfar Avo, and therefore, he should have referred to them both as his nephews from his brother, because they were both his brother's children. So why was he referring to one as his brother's son and the other as his sister's son? So says the Gemara, Rav Bar Achve, because Rav Barachua Davi Bar Achte, Rabba Bar Chana Bar Achva Delav Bar Achte, because Rav was the offspring of a brother and a sister of Rabbi Chia, and however Rabba Bar Chana was only the son of a brother of Rabbi Chia and not a sister of Rabbi Chia. Okay, well that's super weird, because how can a nephew be the son of both the brother and the sister, because that is called arayas. So says so the Mefarshim explain, well, no, because they were really half brothers and half sisters. So they explain like this. that Abba was a widower, and he had a son whose name was Avo. Again, Avo was Rav's father. And then Abba married an almana. He married a widow that who had a daughter. So in other words, Avo and this daughter were not related because they had different parents. So Avo and the daughter were step siblings, but they weren't actually related to each other. And then. Rabbi Chiya was the son of Abba from the second marriage, and Avo then, who was from the first marriage, married this girl who the woman brought into the marriage, and then they had a son whose name was Rav. So in other words, as far as Rabbi Chiya, as far as Rabbi Chiya is concerned, Rav is the son of his half brother and his half-sister, because Rav was the product of the second union. He had a half-brother from the father's side from the first marriage, a half-sister from the mother's side from the first marriage. Those half-siblings weren't related. They then had a kid who was Rav's nephew, but Rav called him his nephew from his sister's side. Okay, so weird family dynamics, but that's why he called one his nephew from his brother's side, the other his nephew from his sister's side. Says the Gemara, Viba Asema, Al Shem Chachmaso. Maybe he called Rav his nephew from his sister's side because of his great wisdom. Dechsiv Emer Lechachma Achosiat, because we have the Lashon of Achosi used in reference to Chachma. So says the Gemara, well, hang on, if Rav was such a rock star, so Yater Bechoros, Al Yater, my Taima. So how come when Rabba Bar Chana said Yore Yore Yadin Yadin Yater Bechoros Yater, Rav never got Rishus to Paskin Alachas of Bechoros? Says the Gemara, Ilema Mishum de Lachachim, if it's because he wasn't that smart, Al Kamina de Chachim Tuva. You just told me that the reason that he referred to him as Ben Achosi was because of his Chachma. So he was super smart. So says the Gemara, Elamishum de lo baki b'mume, if it's because, yeah, he was super smart, but he's just not a baki and mumen, maybe this was outside of his wheelhouse. Says the Gemara, V'yamar Rav, Shmona Asar Chadashim Gidalti Etzal Roa Behema, I spent 18 months by a shepherd, Leida Ezemum Kavu of Ezemum Over, to figure out what type of mum is a mum kavua versus what type of mum is a mum over. So it can't be because he wasn't bright enough. It can't be because he wasn't an expert enough. So why didn't he get this conferral of authority lahater b'choros? So elo l'chalek lo kava l'rabba bar chana. Why? It was to give more kava to Rabba bar chana because Rav Chiya knew that they were going down to Bavel. He wanted to create for them a reputation, and in order to be cholek kava to Rabba bar chana, they gave him the super smicha of even yater b'choros. Rashi explains Rav didn't require that super smicha in order to gain acclaim, because Rav was so acclaimed because he was so bright and such an expert, such a Talmud Chacham, he didn't need this extra smicha in order to get that extra level of respect. So says the Gemara, that's one reason. Viba Sema, another reason, Mishum HaGufei. It's Dafka because he was such an expert. The Rav Baki B'mume Tvei, B'shari Mume D'lo Yada Inshi. Because Rav would be able to perceive Mumin that nobody else would be able to perceive. And on the basis of that mum, which Rav would be able to designate as a mum kavua, he would be matur the bechor. But a stam layman who is looking at this animal has no clue that there's actually a mum in this animal. The amri ki ay gavna shari Rav vasu lemishrei mum over. And they would say, oh, Rav was matur an animal just like this. They're not going to realize that Rav actually found a mum kavua. And they're going to wind up being mater b'choros even for a mum over, because they're not as familiar as Rav was with all these various mumen. Okay, so says the Gemara, now back to the first type of smicha that they both got. So yore yore, the smicha of yore yore, can I paskin iser v'heter? So says the Gemara, igamir reshus alamali. I thought the only reason that you need to take reshus in order to paskin is to insulate you from liability in the event you get the wrong psak. It's to prevent you from having to compensate the litigants. But that's what yodin yodin means. So by yore yore, if he knows the halacha, why does he have to ask rishus in order to paskin cases of iser veheter? So says the gemara like this. So lamali lemishkol, so mishum maisa shahaya, because of maisa shahaya. Tanya, because we learn in a brisa like this. Pam achas holach Rebbe lamakam echad. One time Rebbe went to a certain place. V'ra b'nei adam shemegablem isoseim betuma, and he saw people who were kneading their dough. They were working with their dough in tuma. In other words, they were working with dough and with kalim that were muchshar lekabel tuma. And Rebbe knew that place was a place where they were makbid to be noeg b'tahara, even by chulin. So in other words, it wasn't that they were working with truma, for example, or maisras betuma. It was chulin, but Rebbe knew that in that place they had the minhag to be makbid. Yet they were working with dough that had been hukshar lekabel tuma. Hukshar lekabel tuma is that it came into contact with a liquid. So Rebbe was perplexed. Somerlem neimata megablam musaseichem betuma. Why are you working your dough in a state of tuma? Somerlo, because they said Talmud echad balakan. One Talmud came to us vahoralanu, and he paskened for us me bitsaim swamp water. Ein machshirin is not mukshar lekabel tuma, and it does not cause something to be hukshar lekabel tuma. And they thought that they were kneading their dough with swamp water. Therefore, they felt that the swamp water wasn't making it mukshar lekabel tuma. Now, vahu may beitzim darash lehu. He never said anything about may bitsam. He said something only about may beitzim. The Inu Savar, but they thought, because they didn't recognize his dialect, they didn't recognize his accent, May Bitsam Kamar, he thought that the Talmud had said May Bitsam, and that's why they got this halacha wrong. So Tosfa says Vinu Savar May Bitsam Tema Heichto Bein Beitzim LeBitsaim. How could you make a mistake between Beitzim and Bitsaim? One has an ayin, the other doesn't, and the way we pronounce an ayin isn't really the proper way. If you pronounce it like a Sfardi, then the ayin is very pronounced. How could they make a mistake between Beitzim and Bitsaim? V'emar Rabbeinu Tam Dinu Savar Deme Beitzim DeKamar Tainu Nami Me Beitzim Tchsev Higa Gama Beli Batsa V'to Bein Beitzim LeBitsim. That it wasn't between Beitzim and Bitsaim, it was between Beitzim and Bitsim. But either way, this rabbi said something. They weren't familiar with his accent, and therefore they made a mistake as to what they said. So just to point out parenthetically, we have to get moving here, but just to point out parenthetically that there were some who bring a raya from here. There's a big hak when you get up to Maseches Beitza. Do you pronounce it Beitza or Beya? So there were some who have the minhag to say Beya because it's a lashon naki, because Beitzim is also referring to a man's private parts. So there are some who bring a raya from here that obviously they would say Beitzim because these people made a mistake between Beitzim and Bitsaim. So there are some who have the minhag that they say Beitzim, but when they talk about the Masechta, they say Maseches Beya. And there are Achronim who bring Rayas from, you know, all sorts of places that Rishonim used to say Beya, they used to say Beitza, whatever it is. But this rabbi said something. He said, May Beitzim isn't Hukshar Lekabel Tuma. They thought they said May Bitsaim, and that caused them to make a mistake. Vito Nami Ba, they also made a mistake with the following. May Karmion Ume Piga Psulim Mimneshem May Bitsaim, that he said that the waters from the rivers of Karmion and Piga are puzzle for the Mechatas. Yeah, because they are swamp waters. Venu Savar Midlagabe Chatas Psile Achshuri Nami Lamachshuri. They thought that because these waters are puzzle for the Mechatas, they are also not Mukshar Lekabel Tuma Velowi. But that's not the case. Hasam Linyan Chatas Bina Mayim Chayim Hacha Achshuri Koldu Machshuri. No, that's because by the Mechatas we have an added requirement of Mayim Chayim. However, over here, by Mukshar Lekabel Tuma, any liquid can cause something to be Hukshar Lekabel Tuma. Tosfos over here is bothered how is it that the water from these rivers are pasul for mechatas because they're mei betzorim, they're swamp waters. These rivers are called rivers, so they're not swamps, they're taka rivers. So Tosfos says, no, the problem is not that they're swamps, they are rivers, they are flowing water, but because the rivers flow through swampy areas, that dredges up a lot of mud, and therefore the water is muddy, it's not very clear, and therefore there's a chsaron in mayim chayim, that you need mayim chayim for mechatas, and this water is not considered to be mayim chayim, because the rivers flow through all of these swampy areas. So says the Gemara, Tana, Biyosa Shah Gazru, Talmud al Yore Elim Ke Notol Roshos Me Rabo, that a Talmud cannot paskan alachas unless he takes a shus from his Rebbe. And why? Says Rashi, because his Rebbe is going to be Medek Dayik Bei Shiyu Lashono Pasuach V'layitu Hashomim Ez Dvarav. Because one of the things that the Rebbe is going to be looking out for is not only that he's a learned guy and he knows the alacha, but also that he speaks in a way that people are going to understand, that they're not going to make a mistake, they're not going to misinterpret what the guy means. So says the Gemara Vayter, Tanchum Brei de Ravami Ikla leChasar. Tanchum, the son of Ravami, came to Chasar. Dorishlu Mutter Lilsos Chitim BePesach, and he made it, and he Paskan Alacha. It's Mutter to soak flour on Pesach because you're going to eat it right away. It's not, we're not afraid that it's going to become chametz. So Amarlo, they said to him, Lav Rav Mani Deminsur Ika Hacha. That isn't Rav Mani over here. Rav Mani's in the city. So how can you Paskan this Alacha? V'Tanya Talmud Al Yora Halachas B'Makom Rabo Ela Imkein. That a Talmud is not allowed to paskin in front of his Rebbe unless he's more than three parsos away. Kenegin Machane Yisrael, because that was the span of Machane Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu used to sit on the outskirts of Machane Yisrael, and whoever would have a Shaila would go to him. So anytime your Rebbe is within three parsos, like Moshe Rabbeinu was, you're not allowed to paskin halacha in front of your Rebbe. Samarlu Lavadaite. So says Tosfos, says the Gemara rather. He said, what? Whoops, you're right. I didn't realize that my Rebbe was here. Tosfos over here is bothered that we see that that Rav Amnuna didn't paskin halacha in so long as Rav Huna was living, even though Rav Amnuna was way further than Gimel Parsos, away from Rav Huna, and so some say that Rav Amnuna never took Rishus from Rav Huna to paskin halacha at all, in deference to Rav Huna the whole time that he was alive. But the halacha is that you are allowed to paskin in front of, that you're allowed to paskin if your Rebbe is three parsos away, even though you're not allowed to paskin if your Rebbe is right there. Okay, next case. Rav Chiya Chaz Yalahu Gavra Davika Bebeis HaKvaros. Rav Chiya saw a guy who was in the Beis HaKvaros. Amar Lei, Lav Benish Ploni, Kohen Ata. What are you doing in the Beis HaKvaros? Aren't you a Kohen? So Amar Lei, in Avua Dehu Gavra Gvai Nayim Ava. Yeah, but my father was a really haughty guy. Nosan Enav Begrusha, and he fell in love with a divorcee. Vechililo, and he married her, and therefore I'm the product of that marriage, and I'm a Cholol. So yes, my father's a Kohen, but I don't have the status of Kuna, and therefore I'm allowed to be in the Beis HaKvaros. What does this story have to do with anything? The reason that this story is brought down is because Rabbi Chiya was in the place of his Rebbe, but nevertheless, he went into the Beis HaKvaros and he told the guy, what are you doing in the Beis HaKvaros? Because we draw a distinction between paskening a halacha and saving somebody from Isser. To paskin halacha, you're not allowed to do it in front of your Rebbe. To save someone from Isser, you're allowed to go and tell him the halacha, and even if your Rebbe is within three parsos. Others are medayik that you should do it in a bakava dika way, in a very respectful way, like the story here. Don't go in accusing, the guns blazing, accusing, oh, you're a Kohen, how could you be in the Beis HaKvaros? Isn't your father a Kohen, is the way he asked him? So in other words, he asked him in a very respectful way so as not to embarrass him. Says the Gemara Vayter, Pshita Lapalga Hadakamar Mahani. If you have half smich, in other words, you have Yora Yora Yadin Yadim and not Yater Bechoros, you're allowed to paskin, and that's good authority, and you don't have to pay if you make a mistake. Altanai Mai. How about if you have smicha altanai? So what's altanai? So altanai means, let's say I'm giving you authority to paskin for the next year. Is that valid authority? So Toshma, Yamar Le Rabbi Yochanan, Le Rabbi Shamein, Hare Ata Bershusenu, Ad She Tavo Etzlenu. Yeah. Yes, because we see over here that he got provisional smicha to paskin halacha until he returned, and that was valid. That within that time period, it's as if he had full fledged authority to paskin, so that he would not be responsible for compensating litigants if he ever made a mistake in judgment. Okay, so let's leave off over here. Tomorrow, God willing, we'll cover more about Shnayim Shadanu Dinei Emdin, and then we'll start talking about the whole sugya of pshara as juxtaposed to the concept of din.